in us. I invite you to turn with me this morning to the Gospel by Luke, chapter 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and we're dealing this morning with the thought of analyzing an excuse. Analyzing an excuse. And we have a number of excuses that are made to the Lord here in the 9th of Luke, and we're just going to take one phrase and we want to analyze it. And we want to see how near, like the people of our Lord's day, we are today. Verse 57 of Luke 9. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now what we want to deal with this morning is from verse 61, just a few words. Lord, I will follow thee, but. That's what we want to consider this morning, and we want to analyze what this man really said. Now let's pray together. Now our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you, and we ask you that in the moments that are before us, as we consider how we analyze an excuse and the awfulness of what it really says, we pray thee, O God, that thou wilt take the word and use it to search our heart. Speak to us in this hour. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the great commission that our Lord Jesus gave to his disciples, right before he went to heaven, he said that we are to make disciples of all nations, and those disciples that are made are to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Somehow, in our generation, we have separated discipleship from the gospel. We have done it. And somehow today, those who claim to be the Lord have no compulsion whatsoever to really follow him. It's enough, they think, that they made their decision, and they have forgotten what the old Puritans taught as the perseverance of the saints, and which our Lord himself said is so necessary in John chapter 10, when he said, My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Now this morning we want to analyze the excuse here in Luke chapter 9. Now this excuse could be called a broken resolution. These are made by many people that are in a hopeful state. At some phase of life, they make a resolution. It's made in a hopeful state, but then comes the heavy blow. With the withering hand of sin, and then the word, but, comes into play. Lord, I will follow thee. My, that's good language. But, when the but comes in, when it is uttered from our lips, it reveals far more than we are ready to imagine. Now the grave of many a fair resolve, which has never attained maturity because of that fatal word, but, hinders one from being quickened to newness of life. I will follow thee, but, it reveals that people are the same today as they were in the days of the Savior. I will follow thee, but the evening service is too late. It's at 7:30. Let's change it to 6. You see? Lord, I will follow thee, but there are 3 services on a Sunday morning. Why must we have 1 Sunday night? Lord, I will follow thee, but. And we have 1 but after another that we utter to the Lord, which reveals what goes on in our lives. Now you see, the gospel of Christ, we say, never changes. Not true. You know why? Well, because man never changes and neither does sin. You see, sin doesn't change. We're the same. We're dealing with people today who are the same as they were in the days of our Lord. Oh, how many hundreds of people had their consciences aroused, their judgments enlightened, and yet they vacillate, and they remain unchanged. Remember what Jacob had to say about his eldest son, Reuben? In Genesis chapter 49, he made this statement. He says, Reuben is unstable as water. He will never excel. Because Reuben, he always shifted between this and between that. There are those today who would follow Christ, but something else lies in the way. They prefer the bed to getting diligently out of it and striving to enter in at the straight gate. Our Lord said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And I tell you, when we examine this excuse this morning, we need to pray that the power of the Spirit of God will search our hearts. Now as we analyze this excuse, Lord, I will follow thee, but it exposes a number of things. First, it exposes our objection. Why do we object to following the Lord? You see, this man did. Lord, I will follow thee, but someone may say, but my job prevents it. My job really prevents me from following the Lord. You know, I'm a thrill. And my work calls for me to do some things that are just inconsistent with godliness. Oh, my friend, how often I've heard that. When a person really says that, they are trying to make God the author of sin. Oh, they wouldn't use those kind of words. But they're saying, Lord, you fitted me for a definite calling, and the calling into which I am fitted causes me to sin, and it keeps me from you. Oh, no, my friend, don't say that. Are you prepared to say that God gave you your job, and that your job necessitates sin? Oh, we become so prone to accepting excuses. I was called out of bed one night about 3 o'clock in the morning. And a nurse at a local hospital said, I understand from a lady that is here that if you came and spoke with her husband, you could calm him down. I need your help. I said, I'll be right there. I went to the hospital. The first thing when I got off the elevator on the floor that I was supposed to go to, I met this woman. And the first thing she asked me to do was tell a lie. First thing. I said, don't tell me to do that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to lie for you or for anyone else. Oh, how easy it is to make excuses. Someone else told me to do it. I remember when I worked at the electrical trade, my boss told me to go to one of the most prominent citizens in the city. And he said, I want you to, now you tell her this. I looked at him and said, are you really telling me to lie? He turned his head away in shame. You don't have to. Our objections, we make excuses for where we are. Now, if we're in a place where it causes us to sin, we should leave it in a hurry. It is better to enter into life poor and penniless, without fame and without honor, than to have glory, pomp, and wealth, and to enter into hellfire, the fires of a lost eternity. You see, it is not your sin which makes you say, but, in relation to following the Lord. It's not your occupation. It is not of necessity. It is willfulness on your part that keeps you away from Christ. We continually keep putting the saddle on the wrong horse. We need to admit the problem is right with us. We must take it home to be with ourselves where it really is. Our objections that we may say, my work prevents me from being a Christian. I remember we had a man in Lebanon. He could play an organ. And of course, his wife was a believer. And one or two of his children professed to be saved. But he played the organ on a Saturday night. He had a trailer behind his car, and he'd take it to a nightclub, and he'd be playing there through the Saturday night. When I visited that home one day, I asked him to play the organ for me. And as he played that organ, when I got near it, the organ smelled like a bar room. Oh, I thought to myself, how sad. But God permitted that young man to get into an accident. And that accident was the best thing that happened to him. For there, lying in the hospital room, he realized he was lost. And he came to Christ. And I'll tell you, the first thing he did, he quit his job. He got out of the bar room, and his organ came out of the bar room. And today is an organist in a church. And his children have followed God. I will follow thee, but all we can make excuses. Don't blame your job. Put the saddle on the right horse. But you can say my position in life prevents it. You know what it is to live with an ungodly husband? He never has anything good to say, and you don't know how much he hates the gospel, and he hates, and I can't take the persecution that comes if I trust Christ. It's so hard to endure. If once I were out from under this persecution, then I would trust Christ with my soul. Our Lord told those who would follow him, if any man will come after me, he said, and this is discipleship, let him take up his cross and follow me. And if you come to Christ, my friend, it doesn't mean you will not be persecuted. It means that you will. For the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Remember, and this is most important, if you reject Christ, you reject the crown. If you cannot bear the reproach of Christ, you cannot have the riches of Christ. The reproach of Christ and the riches of Christ go together. And it is written of Moses in the 11th of Hebrews, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And the treasures of Egypt were the greatest riches of the then known world. And Moses rejected it all for fellowship with Christ. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. Oh, if I could see young people today willing to give up the world, willing to give up anything in order that they may serve Christ and be a clear testimony for him. I will follow thee. But, oh, the objection. There's a third objection. Oh, Christ demands too much. He demands too much. He demands, if I come to him, that I give up pleasures, which I really love. There are so many things I'm afraid I'd have to do without. and give up if I come to Christ. Oh, my friend, what a terrible balance the person has. For the scripture warns us against this, and he gives us an example. And the example of the Bible is a man by the name of Esau. The scripture says that Esau sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. Jacob saw that Esau was hungry, and he said, sell me your birthright. Give me your birthright. And that birthright carried that which was spiritual. And the scripture says, Esau despised his birthright. In other words, he thought far more of a bowl of soup than he did of the eternal salvation of his soul. And the Bible says Esau was a profane man. In Hebrews it says in the 12th chapter, let there be a profane person among you, like Esau, who for a mess of pottage sold his birthright, and afterward he could find no place of repentance. There's a fourth objection. And there are those who would say, my work takes all my energy. My work takes all my energy. I cannot help doing, for when I come home, I need time to myself. I need something to relax me. I don't know of anything better than the Word of God to relax anyone. I really don't. And I can speak from experience. Because for years I worked 6 days a week at the electrical trade. And many a night I came home and I had to speak at prayer meeting that night. And I had worked all day. And I came home from prayer meeting refreshed, having been with a saint of God praying and ministering the Word of God. I will follow thee, but oh, we can make our objections. But then none of them will stand. Now we need to consider these objections we have. And we need to remember the Word of God. Proverbs 29 verse 1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy. And I see the grace of God in that word often. He that being often reproved. God didn't cut me down the first time I didn't listen. He that being often reproved, here's the grace of God. But don't presume on the grace of God. For it says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed and not without remedy. And for the second scripture that I want you to turn to, I want you to turn and read it with me. When you think of these objections, Lord, I will follow thee, but turn to the first chapter of the Proverbs with me, and we want to read a portion of it. Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 23. Notice these solemn words of our blessed Lord. Proverbs 1 verse 23, and keep in the back of your mind the words of that man who said, Lord, I will follow thee, but verse 23 here says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, even distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, and would none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. Oh, my friend, take a look at the excuse. Lord, I will follow thee, but how many people are in hell today because of a book. They knew they should follow, but they didn't. So we look at the objection. Now let's look at the ignorance of it. As we analyze this, we not only see the objections, but we notice the ignorance of it. The person who says, Lord, I will follow thee, but that person has no idea of what sin really is. The Holy Spirit of God never opened their eyes to see the end of sin. That person is still in the wilderness of their own natural state. They don't know what sin is. The Holy Spirit has never taught you what your state of condemnation is. The scripture says, he that believeth not the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. And when I think of the wrath of God abideth on him, I like to think of the sword that's held up by a thin thread. Were it to break, it would plunge that soul into a lost eternity. The Holy Spirit has never really applied that to the heart. They know facts, but they've never really felt the reality of it. Have you ever felt the danger of daily destruction? You are ignorant of what the wrath of God must be in the world to come. Oh, my friend, when I study the Word of God, and I realize what the Savior himself said concerning the world to come and what the wrath of God must be there. Oh, the ignorance of the person who says, Lord, I will follow thee. But there's another thing you're ignorant of. You're ignorant of the glory of the person of Christ. The glory of the person of Christ. You see, the Bible says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction and many there be that go in thereat. You're ignorant of the person of Christ. For when you come to the narrow gate, the straight gate, it's so narrow. It only enters one at a time. One at a time. Every person comes one at a time. But the further you go on that narrow way, the way gets broader. And it enters into the whole eternity of God. On the other hand, the broad gate. The wide gate and the broad way. There are many can go in there at one time. And many do. But the sad thing, it gets narrower as you get to the end of it. The further as you go along, the more narrow it gets until it lands in just one place. Not in the eternity of God, but into one place, hell itself. Now we've looked at the objections that are made. We looked at how ignorant we really are, the person who makes this. Now let us look at the sin of the statement. Lord, I will follow thee, but you see, the but here makes negative everything that was said. It sounds good. Lord, I will follow thee. Doesn't that sound good? You can't speak any better words than that. Lord, I will follow you. But, and that negates everything else that was said. But, in reality, that person is saying, I do not believe in Christ. Lord, I will follow you. But I really don't believe you. Had they really believed, they would follow. There would be no but. You see, you're neither this or that. This person who is like this is neither this nor that. They are continuously halting between two opinions. They know what to say to make it sound good to other people. But in reality, the heart isn't there. You see, and there's sin lurking in the heart. Lord, I will follow thee, but on the other hand, this person continually makes the wrong choice. And they get away with lame excuses. excuses. Lame excuses. Always we examine and analyze these. Now the worst part of this is the person is blind to his own activity. Such a nice fellow, you know. But blind to his own activity. You see, there are things that this man would never say. But they're actually said by the butt. This person would never say, I will not have Christ. Oh, that would sound too callous. He would never say, I will not consider following you. That would sound awful. He would never say, I disbelieve the Bible. He would never say, I don't believe in a God and I don't believe in a hereafter. He wouldn't say that. In spite of all that this person knows, he procrastinates. And for some reason, he thinks everything will be all right by and by. But my friend, you may not repent, but you may perish. Your nice ways, your nice words of others may lull you to sleep, and God may put forth a command. Think of this command that God can put forth. Put out thy sword, O justice. If God calls upon his justice to pursue you, if God withdraws the mercy that he has held out to you over your life, if God permits justice and withdraws mercy, you are hopeless without Christ. Oh, let me ask you in closing, real quickly. I will follow thee, but is this your real attitude? These words of this man should be imprinted deeply in your heart. For this may be your attitude. This may be where you're living right now. I will follow you. But, we look at the objections. We look at the ignorance. And then we see the sin. And what a real condition I'm in before a holy God. Let me tell you, this morning, the message of the gospel is the same. He that hath the Son hath life. And God calls us to genuine discipleship. A discipleship that isn't simply a decision. And now I made my decision and I'm fixed for eternity. No, it is a decision that follows with discipleship. Discipleship that means disciplining our lives into the service of Jesus Christ. Anything short of that is not New Testament salvation. It may pass for some evangelists today, but it doesn't pass the test of the New Testament. The New Testament says, make disciples of all nations. And in John 8, our Lord says, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Oh, my friend, have you come to Christ? Or are you that kind of a person who makes the excuse, Lord, I will follow thee, but, oh, we invite you to come to him this morning. Why not settle the matter today? God knows what's going on the inside. God knows all about you. He's the one person from whom you cannot hide. You can hide from me, you can fool me so easily. You can fool parents, you can fool neighbors, but you just can't fool him. Why not come to Christ today? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. But this man said to the Lord, Lord, I will follow thee, but it sounded good to him. But when you analyze it, it certainly didn't sound good to the Lord. And he's the one with whom you have to do. Why not come to him today? Let's sing together hymn number 350. 350 is Steve Leeson. Almost persuaded, but to believe. Almost persuaded, Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day, on thee I'll call. Oh, this is the attitude of the man who makes excuses. Keep putting it off. But God's calling today. The Bible says today you will hear his voice. Harden not your heart. Come to Christ today. Let's stand together and sing as he leads us.